This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello. Hi, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Be Lighted with Rami and Romeo on a beautiful Monday morning. This is what we like. I love summer. What I love about summer is that I only get to wear one item. You just get to wear a dress. You don't need jackets and scarves. I'm just feeling so lovely and so free. I am not riding solo as usual. I'm with the man who just got a year older, Mr. Maromza, who had a massive birthday. He didn't invite me. Apparently, he threw a huge party. I wasn't invited to the party, Yaga Romeo, but it's fine. We're going to deal with it after the show. But he's looking good. He definitely looks a year older. He is looking very hot. I'm loving the shirt, the cuffs, everything clean shaven. And hey, what's happening? My Romza uskunova zalwani.
Can you focus on the show?
Yes, I'm focused on the show. And he's looking good and I'm loving it.
Thank you.
But welcome. Hello, Maromza.
Good morning, Ramstar.
How are you?
Very well, very
well. Yes, please. In your new birthday voice, can you say hello to the listeners, please?
Good morning to our listeners. What a fine Monday and an awesome time to be alive.
I can say I must do it with my radio voice.
Huh? I know.
You know, it reminds me of Wilson Bingo, see? Huh? He gets into the zone.
Yeah. Oh no. Can we not start with Wilson Pinkosi? Please, let's not.
I actually tried to invite him on the show once.
No.
When he was kind of like, you know, I think he's been with Metro FM for like 30 years. Like essentially,
Metro FM is 30 years.
Yeah.
Essentially. He started with Metro.
So when they're kind of like making a big deal about, you know, that, I actually wanted to get him on the show, and he just never responded to my calls.
I would have been so upset.
Hey.
I would have been so upset.
It was going to be nice to have him on the show.
Wilson Bingosi walked in, I would be like, no, guys. Like,
why not?
I don't know. he takes himself so
seriously.
Thank you, Palisa. He takes himself so seriously.
Water courtesy of our
beautiful Miss Palisa.
Yes, thank you.
She's looking good as well. But anyway, guys, it's September. I am so loving the weather. I thrive in summer. I'm at my best.
A summer baby as well.
In summer. I'm at my best in summer. And I'm very happy that winter is fedile. Officially so.
It was a bit frustrating because you just didn't know when it was ending.
Yeah, no.
And then Orifedile, then the weather forecast tells you, no, it's going to get cold.
Yeah. And how was your week, Maromza?
No, I was in a birthday mood, but it was quite good.
What did you do for your birthday because I wasn't there?
I actually didn't do anything.
Okay, and?
That's why you were not there.
Oh.
Because there was nothing to do.
There was nothing to do.
Yeah, so usually I actually save money. You see, like from end of September, I start saving money, which I withdraw at the end of August to have a big bash for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said, we started a school of sales, and then we had to invest money in. So that was my birthday gift, you see. So we teach people how to do sales strategies. So if you're a business person, you kind of like starting a business, you have this awesome product, but you don't know how to sell it, or you just don't know where to go. And most of the time, as a new entrepreneur, you depend on people you know to sell. But then you kind of like don't look into breaking into new markets and talking to strangers to sell them. So we help people with that. So we took all our money, invested in the school of sales, and so we had our first class already in August.
And then
we're gonna have maybe another class next week as well. So it's one of those.
That's good. Funny enough is that when you brought this big envelope with these books inside, I thought it was one of your new books.
The manuscript is ready. What I need to do is obviously get my priorities right. I first needed to officially launch the school of sales, and then the next batch of cash obviously will go into the book publishing. So the book is ready and I'm just waiting for it to be published officially.
So and then what? Your week, like, so nothing happened the whole week?
No, I mean, I'm a
sales
guy.
Something exciting that you did, you know?
No, there's nothing.
Don't tell
exciting
me about sales. I don't care about sales.
No, you have to care about sales because sales keep the lights on.
Listen, I know. Huh? I know.
You have to trust
no,
me.
No. Right now, I'm interested in your week, what you did. What?
My week was, internally, I was just chilled, reflect, where am I as a person? Am I going in the right direction? So the usual stuff at our age, you know. I know, and you're 29 years. Yes,
29.
Okay. At my age.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, good, I mean, fantastic. I'm over 40, and I'm not ashamed.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and be over 40 by your sorry self. I don't care. I had a good week. I had a very hectic week. Obviously, shooting.
The shooting. So you'd say shooting takes about 80% of your time. No, not too much.
Mm. It's actually quite less. If shooting Call the Queen, you know, it's definitely 2 days in, a full 2 days in, and then sometimes three. But just the way the week was, you know, a whole lot of women events, they overlapped into September. So that's what I've been doing the whole week. For a couple of companies, and then the weekend was more hectic.
I can imagine since
Thursday, then Friday, and then there was Ghana. What was that? The Comic Choice Awards.
And I see Skumba won. So congratulations to Skumba.
I was so proud of him. You know, I mean, he got the best two. Nods. You know, comedian of the year and. Flying solo,
but also on the Skumba issue, I find that people tend to think it really comes back and demystifies the fact that you have to be in the industry for long in order for you to be recognized and all that. You know, you need to look at your Amanda Black, you know, first album, and you know so much. So it doesn't. You don't have to be in the industry forever in order for you to be recognized. So just come in. You have a good message. You have a good product,
and good run.
Things happen. Yeah, and a good run, and things happen. And I mean, Skumba is really one good example.
Yeah, but I mean, don't forget also Skumba is one of those people who has been bubbling under. I think Skumba started a good 13 years ago, I think. But and then he started getting, you know, noticed about 4 years ago or so. But he has been hard at it. So it was for me, it was very well deserved.
So here's a very important fact you're mentioning, that you don't need a spotlight for you to be good at what you do.
Absolutely. You just
need to refine your gift. You have to work at it, whether you get invited or not. Whether I always say we believe in the audience of one. If I go and speak and there's only one person, I'm gonna speak like there's I'm speaking to 100 people.
Yeah.
Because and you know, one of the things that we were talking about on Saturday as well is, you know, you go to an event and people are generally late.
Yeah.
But then you find that there's always 10 in the room that were early.
Yeah.
And I tweeted and I said that, you know, out of respect for the 10, you have to start, because the late ones you might have lost already.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
then
true.
You now the but sad part, you're going to lose the ones who are on time.
You didn't honor them.
Time
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the Comic Choice.
On Saturday, I actually had something.
Oh, only now you remember, now that I'm talking about myself.
No, I always give you time to talk about yourself on the show.
Okay, fine.
So relax.
So what did you do?
So we actually launched, so I'm involved in this men's forum. So we launched men's forum.
Oh, yes, actually, so the pictures.
Yeah, so we launched men's forum. And that for me is really my new love now.
And what do you guys talk about? About women?
Nah.
No, I mean, just asking.
We actually talk about serious stuff. I mean, for example, one of the biggest challenges that we have as men is bottling up. You know, you let things build up and then, you know, you end up either taking a gun and killing people and killing yourself, you know, or you just end up being in a bad zone.
I think that has been one of my biggest frustrations with men. Men don't like talking a lot. And I'm that kind of person. I'm ridiculously and brutally honest, and I think if you're going to talk to me or be a friend or, you know, hang with me, you need to be able to trust me enough to say, you know what, today I'm actually not feeling cool. These are my issues. I mean, it doesn't make you a weaker person. But, I mean, with the men's forum, then I think that is something that will hopefully help a lot of people.
No, it does, because, I mean, we're talking about self-respect, you know, the serious issues like urinating in public. You know, you just get out of your car and urinate right there.
No, why?
So it's like,
why do you talk about that?
No, listen to my point. So it's visuals.
Ozama ko strateng o driver o butile festere o bona a buto mopila fela ha o re wa mo sheba a tsokokolonya hae a ntseng 20 fela mo strateng. And then but the visuals, like, that wasn't a good
example. We are talking about the men's forum here. Focus.
Okay, fantastic.
So the men's forum is about talking about bottling up as men And then also, not in our name, that was the hashtag, not in our name, you know, okay. to say, as a man, what do I do when I see those kind of public okay. indecency? Okay. Or what about if a guy is hitting or shouting at his woman in public, and I'm also there, do I just sit there and say, so yeah. those are some of the critical issues that we are addressing.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's going to be quite, yeah.
And it's
that's a lot of work.
It is
that's
a lot of work.
It's a serious uphill battle. But you know what? I think it's something.
But
that
what
is
I like
worth,
is actually we got worth, men to yeah, open up, which absolutely. Was actually quite good.
Yeah, no, it will get there.
Yeah.
Get there.
Anyway, so yeah, so I think that for me was very very powerful. Okay. Anyway, back to you. Mm. So when I Thursday, you were on it.
I went to Rustenburg, go Royal Marang Hotel, and we're doing workshops for actors. Yeah, so ETV basically got actors from Rhythm City.
So your CSI
scandal. No. It was actually within the actual actors, you know. It was for the actors.
Oh.
It was for the actors.
So it's talent grooming
yeah,
and management.
Yeah, talent grooming and management. And then they get, they would get a Rami to also come and throw in her 3 cents worth since starting.
Here's
in
something
industry.
That you taught me and I never forgot it.
What?
You give me one line. And I need to say it in different shades of emotions.
Yes, true.
Now that I never forgot, I've held on to that. See, at least you.
Okay, yeah, anyway, cool. Yeah. But then we also talk about social media, conducting yourself in social media and all of that.
All right.
But then that was Friday, then Saturday. Then I had to drive back and then I went to a wedding in Walkerville. It was my second Walkerville wedding in 2 weeks. Last weekend I went to a wedding in Walkerville.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday as well I had a weekend in Walkerville.
Where is Walkerville?
It's towards Vereeniging. Just off R82. It's on R82.
Thinking de la Revue.
I don't know. Eh? but it was quite a beautiful wedding. One of the guys, there's a school called Orange Farm called Falletse. So the headmaster there was getting married. And it was quite a beautiful wedding. It was quite a nice vibe. But I didn't stay long. You know me, I don't do matrimonial services. And then I also don't do after reception. Because then I want people to focus on the bride and groom.
Yeah,
and
that's
not
true.
Say,
you steal the spotlight.
Yeah. And then I get there, then Bampelo Kotafule Nyaba Ruti, you know? I'm like... And then they had to do like a special mention. And then they did a special mention, which was quite sweet. But I was thinking, no man, let's not do it like that.
Yeah.
And the funny thing where my friend Shirley, who's also a teacher there, Shirley, we get there, we check our names where we are sitting, and they actually wrote Rami Komojo.
Our next guest is here. Yeah. Remove the book, wrong book on
no
the
man.
Table.
No, leave it alone. and then. On the list, they wrote Rami Komojo Chweni. On the whole case, I thought that was so funny. Okay, I thought that.
Well,
was
they
so
needed
funny.
A reference that people can connect with.
Well, I suppose you're right.
Yeah.
But now it's time for us to get seriously misbehaving. I cannot wait to lose control.
Should I be in the studio?
Hey?
Should I be in the studio?
We don't know. It's at your
After
own
After what
risk.
I went through this morning.
Yeah,
maybe
I know. I actually want you to tell us about it because you know Malebo was on her way here. Guys, we have Malebo Sipodi in studio. Can I just say that? But then I'm gonna do the nice intro.
Yes.
But anyway, then she got harassed on her way here. The police stopped her and
So I'm wearing these shades because there's a lot of tears in my eyes. It's not that the future is bright. Yes, it is. The future is really bright.
Yeah. Okay.
You see what I mean? She is misbehaving. Anyway, guys, this year we've got Malebo Sipodi. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman. She is such a powerhouse. Okay, do the thing. Do the drum roll because I started.
Can we remove this? That book?
No, man.
I mean, we are here for my book and I see other people's books on the shelf there.
You know what I mean? But guys, listen. Listen, let me tell you about Malebo.
Cue me.
Go.
Go what?
With your drum roll.
Oh.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, in studio this morning, we've got the amazing, the sexy, the sassy, the fearless, the bold, the beautiful, the ridiculously fabulous,
Yes.
the irresistible, the untouchable, and yet so accessible.
Yes.
The sashaying. The
Yeah.
That girl.
Yes.
Who knows how to hold a mirror for all the right places.
Yes.
And all the right spots.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
The author.
Yeah.
The powerhouse.
Mm.
The beautiful.
The speaker.
Miss Malebo Sipoli.
After that, I don't know. I think I'm going to leave. You're talking about the wrong person. Cutting sassy.
But you know you are.
Yeah.
You know you are.
Mm.
And you're talking about a mirror. Behaving. What are you talking about?
Some of it.
Better recognize.
Guys, there are a couple of things that Malebo does with the mirror. She doesn't doesn't just look at her face.
Mm. Yeah.
She doesn't hold up the mirror and look at her face only.
But they'll have to buy the book to know.
I know
where else you I hold this mirror, right?
Exactly.
What other parts of my
exactly.
beautiful anatomy
yes.
I like adoring
with the mirror.
Kids are listening. I'm here. Focus.
Oh my gosh.
There's fingers, there's knees, there's
you know,
you know, there's a lot of anatomy.
Let's continue. Thank you.
Malebo, welcome to Be Lighted with Ravi and Romeo.
Oh, yeah. I am so glad to be here with my friends.
You know what I mean?
So this is so beautiful, Romeo.
Yeah.
It's so nice to see you.
Yeah, man.
Rami, it's so beautiful to see you. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for changing my mood this morning.
You were not feeling those guys, eh?
Yo, yeah, I got harassed by traffic
officers. Hashtag country duty. So let's talk about that. What happened?
What do you mean? Oh, eh?
Yeah.
I'm still... So let's just move on. I can worry. Every victim must speak when they're ready.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I don't want to think about it because
Mar kitlo
report amo country duty.
Okay.
Because kinali mabito
everything.
Akir bangwane si ticket.
Yeah.
So we've got the details.
We'll take it to Miss Sole.
Yeah.
And we'll say, hey, Mr. Sole, so these people are.
Now take it to Lerato because she's the original founder of country duty.
Oh, yes.
Duty.
Yeah. Can I? Her hashtag is.
Kilerato.
No. Before it was. It was the Zulu name Konje. I forgot.
So now I go back to the original founders. You know, men love stealing things from women.
Okay. That's just how we start the show. Welcome to the show. So tell us, where did you grow up?
Yeah.
Just to put things in perspective.
All right. Because I know. Okay, fine. Let's not go to country duty.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about country duty. We did country duty last week, and it was a fabulous show.
Okay.
And it was the podcast of the week.
He followed me this morning. So shout out to you, Dumi, for following me this morning. Yay! I made it in life.
The verified vigilante.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, we
love Dumi. But I love him too. I love him.
He's amazing. He's beautiful, and he can dance.
So
he comes in here, and then he says, "Oh, is this how we start the show?"
And then he goes.
That is fabulous. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Anyway, okay, back
Malebo,
to you.
Yeah. The way Remy went, like, so tell us, where did you grow up?
I was just trying
but I think it's a fabulous question. And I think what I want us to do.
Yeah.
I think most of the interviews that I've listened to as well is everyone just wants to get into the book. How did you write the book? How did you? And I'm like, no. We want to know the woman behind the book. Before there was the book.
Yeah.
There was once, before there was Malebo Sipodi, there was Malebo Hololo. You know? Before, you know, that's where I want us to go, because I think sometimes we get into the hype of talking about the finished product.
Yeah.
But before we misbehave,
mm-hmm.
we had so many stages of insanity, of craziness, of exploring, of finding oneself, and eventually the book happens to be the end result.
Mm.
And I'm saying, let's go back and just marvel at where it all started.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Okay.
So that's really what the show is about.
Yeah. Okay. That's what
it's about is. Elevating the beauty that you are.
Okay.
And people need to know that, you know, before the fame and the book and all that, you know, there was a hardworking, there's always that hardworking woman, you know, pushing her thing on the side, you know, and it's like a journey, you know, coming to where we are.
Mm.
And Belighted also gives the listener an opportunity to be empowered by you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm excited. Mm. I think Romeo can actually answer all the questions.
I know.
He knows me very well.
I know. But now,
more than I know myself. Babe,
stop hating. Rami, stop hating. Like, I see you rolling your eyes.
No, I'm not rolling my eyes. Huh? I'm saying.
This is my moment.
I know you know. I know you know. But I want you and Amalebo to tell us. And you know what? And I don't want Romeo to not say anything.
Mm.
As you speak, the parts that you leave out, Romeo has to fill them in.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
You must tell us when I Romeo as well.
Go liberate.
No, ntibelele vele.
Yeah.
So guys, if you want to get hold of us, our WhatsApp line is 079-748-2090 and we are at Belighted Show on Twitter.
079-748-2090. Whoa.
And we are at Belighted Show on Twitter, Belighted on Insta,
yeah.
And Belighted with Rami and Romeo on Facebook. Ask us anything and
what's
everything.
What's your handle?
Malabuisia. My handle is at Rami Chweni and Maromza is at Maromza. And Malabu is at Malabu Sepodi.
SEPHODI.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right.
So let's do the thing. Was that babes?
So it's like you guys are surgeons and you're going to put me on a table and cut me open.
Not at all.
No,
nah, not this
not
is not that show.
But no, you know what? We're not going to cut you open like that.
Yeah.
We're just going to ask you, Hore, we want that guy, and then point the place where you want us to go, and we're gonna go.
That is
so wrong going.
It's
fine.
Maroms are focused.
This morning, Monday morning.
You know,
it's also like. It's still.
It's not 10
yet. It's not even 10.
Your examples are shade.
Your mind.
All right, sure. Okay, fine.
I can literally tell you I misbehave. I'm the wrong person. If you don't follow a program,
we're not following the
program. Maybe I'm trying to avoid being asked very personal questions here.
Let's go there. Malebo, tell us where are you from? And when I say where I'm from, not just location. Yeah.
All right, so I was born Go Mirrorlands, right? Go Clinic in Go Mirrorlands. The story is always so fascinating when my mom tells me. But I still don't have the details, but she tells me this story all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've paid enough attention. But the little that I know is that she was in such pain, but she was not ready for it. I think Nabata Hore birthday in July because her birthday is in July.
Yeah.
So she thought Hore, her daughter and her will share the same day.
Yeah.
So when it was time for me to come, Hati Napalama Mabot. You know, she climbed walls. And you know, my level needs to come out. And she's like, Aksobatli, not yet. And I was like, listen, it's my time.
Yeah. Okay, but then how ahead were you? Because if your mom is in July, because you're the 29th of June.
I'm the 25th
of June. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. When Alibonang, you're twins.
Yeah.
You're on the 25th of June. So it's a good 6 days ahead. But then when is your mom's birthday?
The 16th of July.
Yo,
I understand. In her head, I was going to come out on the 16th of July.
So she was so stubborn
and those days, remember, clinics were available
for
birth procedures. You didn't have to go to the hospital like Honano Giri doctor who are performing
I'm a clinic baby as well.
Yeah, so
you're a clinic baby, Maromza.
Yep.
Or you're a hospital baby.
No, I think in the hospital.
Yeah,
no, so I'm a
clinic baby. So I always, and so when I grew up, a lot of my friends were hospital babies, né? And I always used to ask myself, what's wrong with me?
Oh,
why am I a clinic baby?
So much detail.
Yes, okay. And
so
I get what you mean. Because clinic, it was like it's too local.
Before you understood, you know, you understand the intricacy, so I understand the horror. Okay, fine. Mm. It's actually important. This is why the hospital, they're so overworked, because
what's
meant to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
But now, at least the hospitals insist that you go to the and you get a letter. To go to hospital.
To hospital. But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So now that it's in perspective. So I was born Komirolands. So I'm a Joburg person. Yeah. So but Wabangata, they always like to say,
where are you from?
Where do you come from? Kiri Joburg.
But I originally.
Kiri na. Yeah. Originally, I'm from Johannesburg. Ki Josie through and through.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Akina lihaye. Like, look on outside of Johannesburg. And it's quite interesting when we think about black people. And how Joburg is not seen as a home.
Yeah.
Gauteng is never seen as a home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Homes, Kibo, Limpopo, Northwest and stuff. So I'm a Joburg person, but we've lived quite across the country because of Misebeti, my parents, right?
Mm.
So my mom, Nelly Ness, you know, herself. So there was a time she's been doing a lot of community work. So Kihulile, Kibona, parents who do a lot of community work.
Yeah.
So for me, it was default that we needed to help people. So even in her nursing, for example, we lived in the Free State, go a small town called Gedult, you know?
Yeah.
Gedult, go welcome.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. It's a very, very small town. And she headed and remember those days with segregation, black people didn't have access to health, you know, adequate health services. So nasebetsa ko kliniking ko Gedult ko teng, a very small clinic, and she provided a lot of services to the community. And I think this is why my mom is my hero, because ha gona motho ngotseng ka yena ne, and it's, you know, and she's just done so many things quietly. You know, so many things quietly, life-changing things.
Yeah.
And then from the Free State, we moved to, while my parents, so they had a little bit of a jig up, you know, in terms of my dad's employment, and they had to come to Johannesburg.
Yeah.
But while they were trying to figure themselves in Johannesburg, I got shipped to my grandparents, Go Sikha. It's in Rustenburg. You know, like, you know, drive a tar road,
then
the tar road ends, and then you get a gravel. So I always said, Kimotsela ifelang. And I grew up for a year with my grandparents. A very interesting time because a lot of people bahula lidi grandparents for long extended times.
And
it was just a short time, and in that short time I got to know my grandparents in many, many beautiful ways. You know, and then after that I joined my parents go Annadale, and that is where my mom's community work was even more evident, because she worked go Lens, and she was a community nurse, and she fought for people in the informal settlements to get health access, to get education access, and she even became a shop steward. So I watched her do that, and because she was so busy, she also, because now, you know, I don't think she opted for babysitting. She rather opted to send me to programs, and I was a very young person amongst very old people doing life skill programs, community outreach programs, and so while Banaba Banyani Badlala, and I was busy learning about how to facilitate an HIV and AIDS program, you know, with older people. And I think conditioning ya haulimunyani, it sticks with you, you know? So for me, life was, it was default.
Yeah.
There was no other way to view life other than helping people. You had to give yourself off to people. You had to live, barring you, put yourself last in everything.
Yeah, yeah.
There's good and there's bad to that. But I think maybe we can
more
explore
good,
that.
Yeah, more good than bad.
Yeah, more
obviously.
Good than bad. But obviously we must know where there's a fine line.
Yeah.
And then while you were at your grandparents' house for that year, do you have any particular or a distinct moment that you think you've learned from, something that you've learned from them that has like just kept you? I'm sure you learned a lot, but there has to be something in or you can say right now, I remember on such and such a day, this is what my grandmother or my grandfather did, said, or this is a situation. But the, what is that one thing that when you think back to your grandparents, for you is something that has helped ground the person that you are?
Why Linki Lisa Sona Hussein? Why are you making me cry?
That's
because, you know, my grandparents died when I was still young, and and you miss them, you know? Like, how Sona Lichalete, you wish like you could send your money to your grandparents, and they're not there, you know? Anyway, so there was one key incident about my grandfather. but Kingwala Kayon, I write about it in the book. It is the most beautiful incident. And I'm not going to give it away because it's a spoiler. So but so the second one that made an impression on me once that just came up, when you just said that, is my grandfather had come from town, you know. So in that village, Sikha village, the bus would go to Rustenburg, to the CBD, only once a week, right? Or was it, I don't know if it was once a week or times, once a month. There were specific times. And so that means there were these big bags, you know, those check bags, those red and blue bags.
That the ones that Louis Vuitton are now using.
Yes, those ones. So the people would get, so the people would go into, I think it was once a month.
Never,
the people
would call the bag Ram Malebogo.
So they would go in the bus, buy a rusting bag, buy groceries and come back, right? And so I remember it was always an exciting moment to see the bus come back at 6 p.m. and then my grandfather comes out. And so the bus dropped my grandfather right at the corner of our house. So we could hear it come in and we knew as it stopped, he comes out. Yeah. So so we came out and we rushed with my grandmother, and my grandfather walked in, opened the gate, walked in and went straight from my grandmother, and he kissed her on the lips like mwah. And I was like,
wow.
Old people kiss. You know, you see your grandparents, but you don't think that they love each other. Yeah. You don't think that they kiss. Mm. Yeah. You know?
Nor do they express the love, you know, openly and affectionately like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Especially with the cultures, Yahori, you don't look.
Exactly.
So that moment for me was so amazing because they kissed, and it gave me a really heartwarming feeling. And I think this is why I've always been about love, you know, not just intimate love, but any type of love, you know. And even after my grandmother died, my grandfather followed suit because he died from a heartbreak, you know, because he missed his partner so much. It wasn't a relationship, they don't love each other. And they, you know, sometimes you think grandparents got married because it was orchestrated, it was arranged, so it was a duty to have children, whatever. But I saw the love, and even after she died, you know, he couldn't live with, he kept on saying, he became very close to me after my grandmother died, because I reminded him of my grandmother, and I was named after my grandmother's podi, which goes to the surname.
Because I was going to say, I want you to go to that as well. You have to tell us why, like, that whole journey. Okay, fine. Well, you'll tell. Okay, well, since you touched it, Malebo Hololo, and then Malebo Sipodi.
It's not that deep, really.
I know, but people don't know.
Okay, so if you know about the book that I wrote, it is an observation of being a black woman in South Africa and taking on certain status quo. You know, we grew up with certain conditioning of how you should behave as a woman,
the expectations,
mm-hmm. and you're not allowed to decide what the life that you want to live, because every time, if you can decide, you get told that no, this is not for women. This is, you know, if you choose not to get married, you get told that this is the way people don't do such things, right?
Yeah.
So just in general, even when we think of the politics and the history of our country, we only have 1 month that highlights women's activism and whatever, and then the rest of the year is men, right?
It's like whatever. Yeah.
When you think of Adelaide Tambo, for example, you don't think of her activism at the top of your head. Yeah. Like, you don't think of what she did in her own right. Mm. You know, you always think of Adelaide Tambo is O.R. Tambo's wife, right? But when the you think of O.R. Tambo, you don't say O.R. Tambo is Adelaide Tambo's husband. You don't think that. You think of ANC leader, right?
Yeah.
So I realize how it's easy to erase women out of history.
True.
You know, erase their efforts out of history. And even the surnames are very patriarchal. They carry men's blood and men's pride and
lineage
and whatever, and it's always about the man, what he set up, and nobody remembers what the women do.
Okay, so there's a side of you that I was fortunate to have seen in our interactions, and I have always found that conformity depressed you.
Yeah.
And you had always, whether we met for life coaching or we met, you always fighting over something. Whether it be the relationship, the way you are, you know, you talk about the way you are expected to behave and all that.
Yeah.
But what I want us to talk about is really help someone who also struggle with conformity.
Yeah.
And coming out.
Yeah.
You know, you eventually kind of like, you know,
burst
defied
open
the odds.
Yeah.
And just did the impossible. You know, especially in the culture that we live in, people might kind of like obviously not get it. But eventually, you know, as we say, always history will exonerate you.
Yeah. So before I go there, I really wanted to explain my surname and you
yes.
cut me off.
Yes.
You know?
I was going to tell him how to
why.
Do you see how men, you see how men, exactly, yeah, he just like, you know, I'm too quiet.
No, I hear what he's saying, yeah. And the thing is, so for me, because I think
do that first and then come to
yeah, I think it more touchy to the fact that he's hearing me talking about non-conformity and whatnot. But just to go back, so I realized with the surnames, I write about it, you know, but I don't write about my incidents. My Kibuakadi surnames, they really belong to our fathers, even if your mother's surname belongs to her father, right? And so I wanted to find a way to honor my grandmother, because my grandmother did a lot, but a lot of people have atzeb, you know, it's always about her husband. And because I was named after her, so on my ID, khungotsi my label Sipodi Khulun, right? So it's not like I've literally taken something that's not mine. It's my name.
Yeah.
And I was named after my mother. So my grandmother. So I said, through the works, because the work that I've done in Misbehave is a work of disruption, disrupting a patriarchal order.
Yeah.
So it's only fitting, or even in it itself, like the naming of it, honors a woman. And this is how I've honored my grandmother, you know, my label support. And this is how the story is. And I think to come back to your question, Yahore, and you're right, because even when I was conforming, right, because there's certain systems that you conform with, that you work within. So even when I was conforming, I was still uncomfortable with what I was required to do. So the questioning and the trying to be different has always been there. And it's not like you're trying to be different because you are naughty. I don't know if that's the word. You know, when you're a child, you push your boundaries because you are naughty. Ne? But this was not naughtiness. It was uncomfortability, because there are certain things that I want to do, like ride a bike. You know, and I make the example in my first chapter about me riding a bike and the type of response that I received from the community, because it's a misnomer to see a black person first on a bike. It was something not seen. So black men were riding and people were getting a bit used to it. Now a black woman on a motorbike, it's something that is absolutely mind-blowing. And then I was always told, you and your bikes, Malebo, you should be worrying about getting married, you know, and the mothers.
No one is going to want to marry you.
No one's going to want to marry you. You're promiscuous. And the mothers at the church would say to me, they're going to pray for me to be delivered from this
because that's
spirit
the devil,
of the man that's holding
that's
me.
Holding you,
I need to be, hostage. I need to go and find a good husband and give him. And again, they were concerned, Jorge, I'm going to fall off the bike and I'm going to damage my womb so I won't have children. You know, and I said, but maybe I don't want to have children. You haven't asked me. So I think, but the things about identity is that they are directly connected to this conformity. So whether it's religion, whether it's politics, whether it's culture, they're all identity, and we must belong. And as human beings, we love to belong. No one wants to be an island, right? Yeah. And these identities have their own set of rules that you need to follow, own set of ideals.
So
they draw that box for you. And the minute you go out of the box, you are seen as misbehaving. You know, you are seen as
you're a rebel,
and you face the risk of being excommunicated. So a lot of people, when they think of if they stand up against it's going to be hard because you're going to get chased out. You know, you're going to be that person. You're not going to fit in anymore. You know, and we love to belong, right?
Yeah.
In our families, in our circles, in our groups, in every culture, and it takes. I think it takes a boldness when you decide, Jorge. Number one, you are tired of living a life that's been planned out for you by society.
Yeah.
Cool. And number two, you want to stand for the truth because that goes hand in hand with social justice.
True.
There's a lot of things that are not right in society, you know, that conform to these boxes.
Yeah.
But you see that they're not right and you can't take it anymore and you have to now live for your truth,
yeah.
Which means disturbing this order, you
yeah.
know. And it takes, it's a risk, honestly, mm. because it's a risk of you lose a lot of friends, you lose family, you yeah. lose, you can even lose jobs,
opportunities,
etc.
Well.
You lose opportunities, yeah. and but it's about how willing are you to fight for what's right, mm. and how willing are you to live the best life? Because at the end of the day, it's about living your best life.
You know what you were saying? It was your question earlier.
Why did you call Bala? I'm going to forget.
Malevo? No, you won't forget. Malevo, I wanted to
why
say,
do you do this in front of our guests?
I wanted to ask you, Jorge, with what you're saying.
You see what I'm going through.
Huh?
I'm just a guest.
Yeah, Malevo. with what you're saying, I also wanted to say, Jorge, when you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. Different use of words, like you disturb the order, and people think when you stand for something, you are actually standing against. Mm-hmm. Why is it not saying you are standing against social? The things that we are used to, but no, in fact, I'm not standing against what you're used to.
Yeah,
I'm standing for what I want.
Yeah,
what the kind of change that I want in my life, because it's like we end up being a very defensive society.
Yeah,
because when someone comes in with what doesn't work with you, automatically you say they are against you.
Yeah,
but no one wants to acknowledge that. No, they're not against me. They're for themselves according to what they want to happen. To them or for them.
Exactly. I mean, being pro-black does not mean being
you're
anti-white. Being pro-women does not mean you're
anti-men.
You're anti-men, etc. You know, and I think it's important for us to know, Jorge, there are certain systems like racism, patriarchy, sexism, homophobia, etc. These systems can be oppressive to different groups of people,
yeah.
right? And so when you are pro those people, you automatically disrupt the system that privileges other groups. So for example, yeah. patriarchy privileges men over women. So when you are pro women, you know, you are disrupting the patriarchal system, which yeah. privileges the men.
The
so
men, yeah.
it makes it so the benefits that men get out of patriarchy, they become very uncomfortable when they think
yeah.
of, okay, fine. So that means I will no longer be the boss. You know,
yeah.
I must be equal to this person.
Yeah.
You know, power dynamics are quite interesting.
Yeah.
So as you're saying,
yeah.
what I always say, I am pro women. I am pro social justice.
Yeah.
I am pro progression. I am pro to see a liberated society. I think that's the best way to
yes.
put it. A liberated
exactly.
society for all. And a liberated society for all, it means that we have a whole bunch of people. I don't know what the stats are, but I think it's over 30 million people who are poor in this country.
Yeah.
And when
definitely.
I say poor, I mean
33
million.
Yeah.
Yes. They live just on $1.45 a day.
Yeah. Mm.
That is really heart-wrenching. So when you have a society like, and most of those people are women and children, right? So when
True.
You have a society like that, it's nice to celebrate those who are doing really well. But when you still have a whole amount of a society
yeah.
that is...
And the gap
that
as
is,
well is just
it's,
too
we
wide.
Have one of the highest Gini coefficients,
yeah.
you know, if it's not
wide.
The highest,
yeah.
you know?
Mm.
And when you live in a society like that, you really, really have to be pro people, a liberated society, because then a liberated society sees the gap closing.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, for example, I see you going to talk to couples. And in a sense that, you know, I mean, I'm thinking as a man, I want to be able to help, or maybe to be open to the idea that my partner can misbehave, because it makes her who she is, you know, it kind of like creates, she really can come out, you know, while I'm there, versus let me leave Romeo in so that I can get out type of a situation.
You
so,
fell into it, eh?
Eh?
You fell into it.
No, wait for this. So if you had to give a couple maybe a couple that, you know, comes from, you know, conformity. Typical, you know, let's get married, have children and all that. But someone wants to ride a bike. Someone wants to, you know, kind of like come out and do all the things that they've always wanted to do without having to explain themselves. But then you want to help the brother or the husband to be able to work with that. So what I'm saying to you is, what would happen if a couple invited, a couple's minister invited you and said, come and talk to us, because we as men, we feel that maybe we are not open enough to that.
Yeah. I mean, I think you know my history very well, Romeo, in terms of the type of amount of time, and I detail it in chapter 3, the amount of time I invested in working with men, right? I have a hashtag, Dear Black Men. And, oh, people who don't
that
read the
book.
That
was a very successful hashtag, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not very excited about it right now, but then it was amazing, right? Mm. And people think that chapter is a letter to the black man. I was like, actually, no, it's not a letter to the black man. It just details my journey with violent masculinities, right? With the black man. And I used to invest a lot of time into working with men until I realized that actually men must work with themselves, you know? Because black women have been laboring for so many, we are strong black women.
Yeah.
We hold the nation, that's why we are in Bogotos, because we don't bleed. We are cold. We can't feel. We constantly have to work, and this is the kind of way that we are seen, right? And we must constantly work and help the men
maintain that
and understand.
Yeah.
And even when I wrote the book, I was very clear, Hore. I labored for men for a very long time, 5 years. I ran mentorship groups for boys. And men would be like, you're doing such a great job. Yay. I mean, it's on Facebook. People can go back on their history and see
timeline,
all the work that I used to do. Mm. So it's not something that I'm making up. And I think it's important for us to understand that we have to keep men accountable now. And they must stop asking women to labor, to say, come and talk to us. How can we change? I think that is a problem on its own. So when I wrote the book, I wrote it for the black woman, because it was important for me to realize that there's some sort of internal oppression that works, you know, in terms of making the woman feel inferior, you know, just like making the black person feel inferior.
Yeah.
So it works, right? So
automatic.
You need to start a conversation that actually says you are more than what you've been always told.
Yeah.
And that's the work that we women are doing with each other. And I think there needs to come a time now beyond the Not In My Name marches, because they marched and that's all I saw, right? Mm. Beyond the Not In My Name marches, there needs to be some serious shifting in now men taking responsibility and saying, especially the men that says, not me, because that say, you know, we have a deeply, and I know that sometimes I dampen the mood with this conversation, but it's the reality.
Yeah.
We have a country with very high stats in terms of femicide, meaning the women who get killed, you know, are by partners, right?
Yeah.
Direct partners. Yeah. We have a high rate of rape, meaning it's the men who rape the women, the higher stats. We have I worked in the correctional facilities, which are previously known as prisons, just down the road, Luikop. I worked there with the men there. So the prisons are overflowing. Like they overcapacitated.
Mm.
So I think there is a conversation that men need to have with themselves.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, I've been getting a lot of invites from men saying to me, would you come talk to us? You know, and I think I treat it case by case. You know, I treat it case by case, but I'm very clear in I'm not going to labor for men. I've done a lot of laboring. Men need to start laboring for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I hear you.
Men laboring for themselves. Maromza started a group. Kind of, what's the forum?
It's just a men's forum.
A men's forum.
Yeah.
A men's forum.
Yeah.
You know, to kind of answer to us there, because he was, before you walked into the studio, was actually talking about that.
And that's amazing.
And where they need to, like, men talking about amongst themselves and saying, and then one of the biggest points he made is, like, men bottle a lot of things up. And now, and then linking to what you're saying is that they bottle things up, and they go, and now you have to come and say, how, baby, what's wrong? And then you have to, like, you know, do all of that. So it's quite interesting that there's that forum, because Maromza and his people, his friends, who started the men's forum, they actually realized.
But they need to do more. Her. You know, yeah. They need to do more. And like, I mean, lots will, of more
and that's
work
exactly what
needs
we're saying.
Her,
you know, it's going. It's a. It's an uphill battle.
Yeah.
But it's always awesome when they start. And you were saying it was amazing. Her, it was. It was just their first meeting.
Yeah.
Now, what? Mm. How most of them opened up.
Yeah.
And said, "Listen, nah, I'm not coping." Also, me, the expectations of me being a man.
Yeah.
They're too high for me
because patriarchy.
Because
patriarchy it doesn't benefit
men. It doesn't benefit women. But worse,
it's also bad.
It doesn't benefit men because they can't be behaving like little girls. You know, now you can't cry because you're such a girl.
Yes.
Why are you behaving like a girl?
Because there's a certain masculinity you have to live up to.
Yeah, and now seeing programs like the Men's Forum that Romeo is involved in, it is quite interesting because now. Men now themselves because women we are in that stage where dude, you're on your own. Sort your mess out.
Because resistance
things to do.
Because resistance brings change, right?
Exactly.
Not coddling, right?
Exactly.
And if you coddle people, they will never change.
They'll never change.
And what's interesting is that even in the book, I acknowledge, right? I acknowledge that there's a lot of work. And I also, I acknowledge that there's a lot of work done by men and the groups that they started. And I mentioned one such group, and I also mentioned Professor Kopano Ratele, who does extensive work around masculinities. And now that you've told me about Romeo's work, you know, I acknowledge that there is that kind of work. Yeah. But it's important that it gets highlighted to know, Hore, there's a national kind of
conversation
that needs to be happening between themselves
continuously
so
every single
what
day.
Happens when we have leaders who are confirming toxic masculinities on videos. What are these groups of men doing publicly so that we can see Kuti, there is something happening. This is what I'm saying.
You advocate
We
are out of time.
We are out of time, but before we go, that's how belated goes. I mean, it just runs.
I don't know if my conversations were light, though.
No, they were perfect. They were perfect. But now, ladies and gentlemen, we have been speaking to Malebo Sipodi. Please, you need to get her book, Misbehave. Mm. Because I was even thinking, that's why I was like, we're not talking about the book, because each and every book deserves an hour on its own. Like, in each and every chapter, we can talk about it for days, for weeks. And I'm just hoping that our government, the system, the education system will actually include it in
and it's on its second print, hey?
It's just flying off the shelves.
Yeah.
But get the book, Misbehave. It's in all bookshops all over the place.
Support the black ones.
We've got Africulture. Yeah. We've got African African flavor. We've got the mobile one. Oh gosh, I forgot the name.
Yes.
But there's so many black bookshops where you can just find these books. Support them. Support the bookshops. Get the book. It's a must read. Funnily enough, man, I was like, I called my dog. Kifilo, where's my book? So, oh, sorry, I took it. I'm like, hello.
You can read it when you're 10, 15, 60, 95.
It doesn't matter. It's a book to have. Malibu, it's been such a pleasure. We can never stop talking to you.
Thank you, my friends.
We love you. You're doing good. You're doing well, babes.
Romeo's giving me a side eyes like, yes,
I know.
That's what happened to this misbehaving woman.
We are out of time. But ladies and gentlemen, that has been Belighted. And we will be back with you fresh on Monday with the amazing, the beautiful, the funny Miss Tumi Murage. We're going to have fun. That's Belighted. Have fun. Bye.
Hi, I'm Salamina Musaisa from Azza TV. You are listening to Belighted Show with Rami and Romeo on Cliff Central.
This is CliffCentral.com.